You're listening to the Scottish Football Forums podcast, the home of Scottish football banter.
Hi, welcome to the latest episode of Scottish Football Forums podcast. We are at season 13, episode 14. My name's John, and tonight joined by Erin. How are you doing?
I am excellent, thank you.
I was expecting a different word from you, but excellent will do. Also joined by Robbie, how are you?
Absolutely ecstatic, John, this Monday evening.
Again, I was expecting a different word from you, but never mind, so that's good to hear. And we've got some returning guests ahead of the Salt and Sauce Derby at the weekend. So, first of all, in the maroon corner, we have Graham. How are you doing?
I'm good, mate. Glad to be back on. Thanks for having me back.
No worries. And in the green corner, we have Charlie. How you doing?
I'm all right, mate. Aye. Good to be back. Thanks for having me on.
Aye. Pleasure. So I plenty to talk about tonight. We might be joined by a Rangers fan later on. We shall see what happens. Though there's nothing to talk about at Rangers, so we're going to just chat about some other stuff. So tonight, we'll chat a wee bit about the League Cup. We should have had winners of all the legs, but it might still happen. Edinburgh Derby, as obviously alluded to in the introduction, a bit about the weekend action, and then there's some European ties to preview. So we'll start off with the League Cup. Where should we go? Graham. We'll go with Kilmarnock and Hearts game. Now, I've seen some mixed responses from fans. Kilmarnock thought they were a bit hard done by. It's a pretty even match. It could have gone either way, really, couldn't it?
Yeah, I thought first half it was better from Hearts. If you'd asked me last Monday, I wanted Naismith sacked after that St Mirren game. So I was looking for a reaction or a response. And I think we got it. You know, I think bringing George Grant in, his first game, well, the whole season so far, he's not started. And he's been a bit in the cold and he's come in and done a good job. He scored the goal. And then in the second half, it was a bit like what I've seen recently. It's very much reverting back to type about possession for possession's sake. I thought Kilmarnock started to get the ball out wide a lot more. Decent header from Brad Lyons, but Hearts don't defend it. And once they got that equaliser, I did think at that point, there's only one team going to win this game and it wasn't us. But fair play to Naismith. He made the changes and I thought they worked a lot better. He changed the system as well. Went to three at the back. And obviously, he brings on Alex Lowry. 50 seconds later, Lowry scored. It's a really good finish as well from the laddie. You know, to do that in that last minute, to have the composure to do the drag back and then finish the bottom corner, it's a great, great finish. And I thought it was, I think second half, you know, we weren't great, but I think we probably just about deserved to sneak through. You know, I don't think Kilmarnock really created a lot of chances in the game, but I'm just delighted to be through because that was a high-pressure game for Naismith. And I'm sure that anyone who watched the game saw the banner. Funded by fans, ran by clowns. Maybe not the best time to do it in the quarterfinal of a cup game, but I kind of understand the sentiment. But I was just delighted to get through. When that final whistle went, it was just pure relief. And yeah, I knew when the draw came out, it was going to be Rangers. It's just guaranteed to happen. But I'm just pleased to be in there.
It's interesting because obviously I've spoken to you a few times over the last few weeks in terms of Kenny Smith having the job and he's under pressure already, which you can understand, but also on the flip side, I mean, he's been in the job for about 6 months, and we're talking about pressure already. Obviously, won at the weekend in the league as well, which you could obviously kind of chat about as well just now, but you still feel that he is under pressure. Like, at what point would he not be under pressure? What does he need to do?
I think he needs to keep winning consistently. I think the thing for me is that I always said that he was too inexperienced. And I put a tweet out when he got the job to say that for me it was a cheap appointment and the wrong decision. Now I'm not quite at the stage yet where I'm going to say, yeah, it's the right call. But I've always said as well that I'll back any manager that comes at the Hearts. But he's got to keep on winning. He's got to keep being consistent. A few weeks ago, my main concern was the fact that we weren't winning, but I couldn't see a style of football. It's a bit like Rangers. I couldn't see a style of football from Rangers and I couldn't see a style of football from Hearts either. We were told at the start of the season by Naismith that he wanted to see attacking football, and we haven't really seen that in a lot of the games. Saturday again, first half, I mean, I thought we controlled the game first half against County. I thought County were very poor. We controlled the game, but didn't really create a lot of chances. We had a lot of possession, but again, it was very slow. But second half was far, far better. We looked much better going forward. Again, the changes made a difference. Yet again, Lowry comes on and makes a massive difference. So he's got to keep winning. But the big issue now is our next three games are Hibs, Celtic and Rangers. So that's going to be a very difficult period for him. After that, he's got Livingston at home and then we've got the cup game. If he comes out of those five games with decent results and performances, then I'll probably start to think, do you know what? He might be the right man for this. But at the moment, I'm still not overly convinced. But as football fans know, you've got to win games. If he's winning games, nobody's really going to care that much. Now, we've got two wins out of two in the last couple of games, but he's got to keep that going on Saturday. Beat Hibs, and a lot of fans that have been maybe against him might start to think, do you know what, maybe this might work, but he's got to keep winning.
Aye, as you say, football can kind of quickly change, because we're only talking about a couple of weeks ago, Barry Robson was under pressure. Now, he might be the Messiah again. After the last week, Aaron, Robbie.
Yeah, Tynecastle was a tough one because I think I said on the radio afterwards that the worry is, I don't want to start sacking managers every 2 minutes, but where points were they going to come from? I didn't expect to win at Tynecastle, but it would have been easier to take if A, we weren't absolutely terrible, and B, we'd actually bother to win a game prior to then. And I think it's hard when you've been horrendous and watched a performance like that, and then you're going to Frankfurt in 5 days' time. Then we went to Frankfurt and we were brilliant. And then we had a 4-0. Wednesday was actually a little bit edgy at the end, but got through the cup fine. And then Saturday absolutely smashed it. We're back. Clarkson's got us playing. Dons are back. Brilliant. Everyone's buzzing. And we've got quite a good October. We've got five games, four of them are at home. We've got four home games on the bounce. To Europe, and then St Johnstone and Dundee, which you would be hoping should on paper be safe. Rugby Park will be tricky, and then November looks like probably the worst month in our club's history. Six games, five away, including a trip to Celtic Park, two abroad in Europe, Hampden. Oh, and we've got one home game, and it's Rangers. And it's at 12 o'clock on a Sunday, of course.
All easy fixtures. Nothing to worry about. Robbie?
No, but I do think sometimes a week in football is a long, long time. A week you can turn it round, and a week you can get yourself sacked. So I'm not saying everything's fine, but Frankfurt has turned round, not just results-wise, but the way everyone's playing. Graham Shinney looks like a completely different person. Clarkson as well. Everyone looks, genuinely on Saturday, other than Ruse for the goal, everyone can have a 9 out of 10. Shinney can have a 10.
And I agree with Aaron there. I probably will go on to the Rangers game later on, I assume, but in general, with the feel-good factor around Aberdeen within the last week, it just shows, because Robson out camp was really going. There was the worst start to a season since 1999, and you just didn't see where a win was coming, as Aaron says. And like the cohesion in the team didn't seem there at all either. And then now, guys like Stefan Gartemann and Richard Jensen in that back line have just solidified things completely. We're seeing a reborn Jack McKenzie down that left-hand side. And also, Nicky Devlin, it looks like an excellent signing on a free transfer. So I know a week's a long time in football, and the next time things go tits up, it could be back to Robson out. But at the moment, we have to enjoy it and embrace these favourable fixtures coming up before the international break. Whereas Aberdeen, we've got these tough ones out the way. Hearts haven't. And now Aberdeen's only 2 points behind Hearts, with arguably some better games coming up, and could be charging up towards that third place where they want to be. Or, dare I say it, second, if St Mirren don't have anything to say about that.
Ah, exactly. It's St Mirren that would have something to say about that, no one else.
Yeah, someone was speaking about our games coming up the next kind of like 5 weeks, and I said, people were saying, oh, maybe little points or Rugby Park, and then we'll get this. And I said, no. I said, 12 points in the cup final, off we go to Greece. Lovely. Now get back from Greece, win at Celtic Park, little international break for my birthday, and then back to beating Rangers again. Lovely. It is a big turn.
That would be the dream, Aaron.
That is,
And to your question, John, on the performance in the Cup, in that Viaplay quarter-final, I must say the word nervy come the last 10 minutes comes to mind, having been up there, standing in the ring, watching that performance. When they get a standing off after 14 minutes, you think, OK, we're a goal ahead after 8 minutes. We can push on and win this convincingly. And even when Sokler did end up getting that elusive winning goal, I just never, maybe that's me being a pessimist and having seen Aberdeen too much throw away leads, but I just wasn't comfortable until that final whistle blew. Just thought, Company will find a way of getting an equaliser, making us go all the way. But fair play into a semi-final, and that's what you've got to do when you go to tricky places like Dingwall.
So and on Sunday away, we have a habit of going down to 10 men and playing worse than we do when there's 11. It worried me when they got that sending off. I thought, And then I think we did look, I mean, most people played well, but we just didn't look comfortable at the end. The thing is, 2-1, County know a goal gives them half an hour. But Saturday was the same. We weren't any better. I don't think it was obvious the Rangers were down to 10. And we have a really bad habit of that. We're actually better if someone doesn't get sent off. Although it was funny that it was got right. And it was a sending off, by the way. People saying, oh, it wasn't yellow. Second one's softer. But if you've had a wild challenge like the first one, you can't be doing stupid things like that.
No, definitely. And I would say with Aberdeen, it's good to see the last 2-3 games, especially since that league game that's got to form back to where we want it to be. Grimshin has just been colossus for us, led by example on the pitch with his performances. And that's just a few weeks after. I know football fans, as I say every week, are so fickle, but loads of people on Twitter saying, oh, his legs are done, he shouldn't have got this new contract. And then the last 3 games, he's been absolutely outstanding, and thought his influence has been rubbing off.
I just thought he was playing the Hibs game at home. It wasn't even his legs, he just didn't look up for it. It was very odd. And he got subbed off, actually. And
that's not like
your captain off. A bit weird. And then since Frankfurt, he's been my man of the match every single game.
Have to agree.
Outstanding.
John, from what you've seen of Shinny?
He's coming into his game now. I think it's helped in terms of the fact that we're a wee bit more on the front foot as well. And Barron was in the team for the weekend, and he's helping him have a bit of extra space in midfield. And then maybe the system on Saturday helps out when we're actually playing like 4 central midfielders. So again, he's got a bit more space, a bit more freedom to do things. So the last time Charlie was on, it was good news because Johnson had gone. The number one choice came in, Montgomery, who's had a good start. What did you think of your League Cup performance at the midweek?
I thought it was a tale of two halves, to be honest. I thought first half, St Mirren were probably edging it in the way of they had more clear-cut chances and they went and won a lot. But I think at half-time, he's obviously said, this tie's not over, go and perform. And they've came out and scored 2 really early goals in the second half. And then we make a few dodgy subs. We take, I'm actually just pulling the lineup up so I can. So we took Doige off and Yuan off and Venti off. And at that point, I was like, this, I don't know if he's playing, because we were 2-1 up at that point. I don't know if he was trying to shell it a 2-1. And then a minute later, the young Rory Whittaker, who made his debut at the weekend prior, he gives the ball away and sits in and score. And then where the panic stations start to set in, are we going to get to a quarter and no more? And then Martin Boyle does what Martin Boyle does. So he pops up with 2 important goals safely through to the semis. And probably the draw that every Hibs fan wanted to avoid Hearts or Rangers. And I think it's a favourable draw for us to get to a final. I think by the time it comes, Aberdeen haven't beaten us in a year, which in recent memory, I can't remember the last time that Aberdeen have went on such a barren run against us. So I'm confident. I think it's a great chance to get to a final for both of us.
Shots fired early, but we'll come on to that more so when we do the preview of the semi-finals. Biggest changes that you're seeing since Montgomery's come in, because obviously it's predominantly the same group of players. Obviously, there's been the odd one with Whittaker coming in a couple of times, and then change of formation.
It's been a massive thing for us. I think the 4-4-2 has been great. And just being able to control the controllables, we're averaging seven shots on target a game. And if you're averaging seven shots on target a game, more often than not, you're going to win the game. Obviously, Saturday was a wee bit disappointing, but we still had nine shots on target and never scored. So that's more credit to Dundee than ourselves.
Aye, much as maybe you didn't score at the weekend, you'd be pleased from our point of view of not conceding.
Absolutely. That's, I think, two clean sheets in the league in a row. So, and three in a matter of weeks. So for Marshall's sake, that's got to be a big confidence booster, because I think most Hibs fans would agree that he's probably past his prime and we probably need to replace him in the summer. But aye, if he can keep that up, then it's only a benefit for us.
Yeah. I noticed as well online you are kind of speaking volumes about how good Venti has been.
Yeah.
Elaborate.
Well, I think obviously when Hibs lose our top goal scorer and Kevin Nisbet, who only played 6 months last season, maybe five, it was a hard ask to replace his goals. But I think in Venti's first, maybe 8 or 9 games, he scored something like 5 goals, and most of them have come within, like, he's like having one touch in the box or taking a touch and shooting. So I think he's more of like a striker that likes balls into feet. And I think the way we are playing now, we are trying to get the ball to the striker's feet and just hope for the best. But I think you've just got to look at his goal against Sittmarin in the Cup last week to show you how good of a striker he is. You know, he takes a touch, has got enough time to swivel on the ball, send Gogic to the shops and then put it into the net. So I'm really happy with him. I think 700 grand for Hibs is a big buy. So I think he'll pop up with a few important goals for us this season.
Can I chime in on a wee bit? Can I chime in on a bit about Hibs, you? Charlie, I was just wondering, at the start of the season, a lot of Hibs fans seemed concerned about the defence and the way they was giving away so many cheap goals. Is it quite refreshing to see you've had three clean sheets in the last five games and you can take positives from that, despite maybe not taking chances at the other end?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the big thing for me is just watching how the midfield two are battling a lot better now. So Jago has came under a lot of criticism from Hibs fans, and I think he's been, for my money, man of the match in the past three games. I think we seem to be a lot more solid at the back, and I think that's probably the way Montgomery wants us to be. So it's nice to see that our manager's trying to implement a style that is starting to pay off, obviously, with, I think, his hardest game with Sittmarin so far, and we've got through that. Obviously, like Graham and his team, we've got Hearts, Rangers and Celtic next three, so it's going to be a big step up for the manager. I think he's going to learn a lot about the players, especially against the Old Firm or the Glasgow Derby, in whatever way you want to view them. We historically don't do well against those teams, other than beating Celtic at home last season when they had nothing to play for and were eyeing up their treble. But I think, you know, you've got to be confident going into these games under Montgomery. We're playing nice football, so you're hoping that we can sneak a point or three in one of the three games, or all of them, hopefully.
Aye, plenty to be confident about anyway. But I've had news that the Rangers fan unfortunately cannot join us. So the news broke out yesterday on the back of, not just on the back of Saturday, it's been more than that. Michael Beale, what, last 307 days, so less than a year in the job, after his sneakiness of getting the job, which you will see. Obviously, a lot of people moaning online about the fact that he did that, though, at the time. I remember folk being really happy about Beale taking over, because he was the one that won the league, it wasn't Gerrard. He was the man that was pulling all the strings. So I suppose we can all just have a laugh then, really, because there's the Rangers fans on. We've been having a laugh anyway, but how good is it to see them in turmoil?
It'd be more fun if Josh was here. Convenient that he's busy, isn't it? He's been awfully vocal all day as well. Part of me didn't want him to go, because I think he's quite amusing as a manager, because his interviews are a bit wild. One, we shouldn't be getting beat off a team like Aberdeen. One, it's by a team, not off. And you should be able to speak properly if you're a manager on telly. Two, why not? Like, if it was the fact that certain teams beat certain teams and that's it, we wouldn't play the league. We would just, in August, say, right, here's the teams that should beat each other, done. and we'd do a trophy then. So that's ridiculous.
To be honest, I don't think we should play any football because then we would win the league every year.
That is true. I do like the first day of the season. We'll be back up to the top again soon, don't worry. But also, why shouldn't we beat you? You can understand if you've got... So Darvel is an example of this. I still didn't want our manager on the radio, the telly, saying we shouldn't be losing to Darvel. But I think that is a fact because you look at the difference in finances and trade, you know, full-time players, all of this, fine. But why shouldn't we be beating Rangers? I don't think their recruitment's been brilliant. They talk about injuries, but I don't think... Are the players they've got out injured that great? I think other than being, like, bizarre on social media, I don't think Campbell's that fantastic. It's all, like... I don't think they've had a good summer. I think they've let key assets go for free, have spent far too much money they don't have on players that I don't think are maybe that great. Like, I get... They lost to Killie on the first day, and the impression I've kind of got from their fans, and we've spoken about this on here, is that their squad's maybe just not that brilliant. And so, a bit of a shame. He also throws players under the bus a lot, which I find quite amusing, because surely that just causes massive dramas at clubs. But also quite funny that we've done that. So, I don't know who they're going to get, and that's going to be funny as well, because a lot of the people I keep seeing Rangers fans on Twitter suggesting, I'm not sure they're realistic. So I'm sure there'll be some kind of meltdown when they inevitably get someone. A lot of them they're suggesting I'm not sure about. I don't think a lot of the names I've seen. There was someone mentioning Arteta, and I think he was being serious. I think they're going to be in for a little bit of a shock. I don't know. Mark McGee. Get Mark McGee back. It'd be good for the rest of Scottish football.
We can have the comedy shouts first of all when everything goes through the serious candidate. Comedy shouts.
Cheap option. Knows the game. I reckon Mark McGee would be excellent and everyone else would be happy.
Right, Charlie, who was your comedy shouts that you had?
Neil Lennon. I think he knows the league. He's a favourite among the Rangers fans and he should bring Scott Brown as his assistant. I think that would work wonders for them.
I saw a Rangers fan genuinely saying Neil Lennon would annoy Celtic a lot, so we should think about it.
I don't think there'd be a Rangers fan against the idea.
Could you imagine? It'd be so fun.
I mean, Robbie Nielsen's without a job, Graham. That'd be a good shout.
It would be hilarious if they did. But I generally don't think that'll happen. I mean, I've seen a lot of names mentioned and stuff, and I know that Graham Potter's ruled himself out. I've heard a lot of Rangers fans as well saying they need to bring Graham Souness back in some kind of capacity. I don't see that happening. I mean, there are managers out there that would probably take it, but I just think at the moment, again, there's been a lot of folk talking about Neil Warnock. The guy's about 80-year-old. Is he really going to take the Rangers job? I doubt it. He doesn't need the stress. I just think Rangers are an absolute mess and it is hilarious. But even if they'd won on Saturday and they didn't deserve to, even if they had won, it would have been a case of winning, not us. Because they've just been so, so poor. I mean, three defeats in the league. They are 7 points behind Celtic already. And the thing about Michael Beale is he never won a big game, a game that mattered. He didn't win a trophy. He got knocked out of the Champions League before he even started. They didn't beat Celtic. The only game they beat Celtic last season was a game that didn't matter because the league was done. And I just think some of his signings have been really poor. That guy, Dessers, looks awful. He had a couple of chances on Saturday and didn't take them. And I just don't think they've got they're playing three central defensive midfielders at home to Aberdeen. I mean, that just shows how bad they are. They're having to do that at home. And even the Motherwell game last week, they're time-wasting at home to Motherwell. That just kind of shows how bad they are. And it was no surprise they got sacked. I think, like Erin, I would have wished they'd kept him a bit longer so we even had a chance in semi-final. But, yeah, they've just been an absolute basket case. And who they get is going to be interesting because it is still obviously an attractive job. But, I mean, whoever comes in is going to have to work with the players that they've got and they just don't look good enough.
See, in terms of it being an attractive job, so I think previously you would say it was quite an attractive job. But at the moment, I mean, it's a Celtic side this season. It's definitely not as good so far than what it was under Ange. So there's an opportunity for Beale to stamp his mark on the team. He's been there a bit longer. But as we say, like recruitment-wise, a lot of English Championship players. And then guys from abroad like Dessers, Lammers. Danilo, on paper, looked like a pretty good signing. I think still could be a good signing. just generally no vision, no identity. And when you're getting booed off the pitch after winning a game, because they actually got booed off the pitch after beating Motherwell, you just think there's no hope. But are they now going to be in a vicious circle whereby they're going to just constantly be changing manager? Because Celtic, from the outside looking in, I think Celtic are just going to probably dominate for years, which isn't good for Scottish football either.
No. You look at it, John, is that Rangers looking for the eighth manager in the last 12 years or 13 years or something like that, which is shows there's no stability. And we were speaking about in that chat earlier about the fact that most of the Scottish football pyramid hasn't got much managerial stability these days. But who actually will want to take that job? If you're not, I know at Rangers, the expectation's high. I've said before that they're quite fickle and entitled, that that's one loss in four games and or in five games, and they're still, I think Beale had, which is quite funny, 71% win record or something like quite high, which was the highest of all Rangers managers. But yet again, he didn't win the big games. So quite right, they wanted him out. But it's a poison chalice. If I was going to look at it from an outsider who'd come into the Ibrox hot seat, you got to know from the off, you're already behind Celtic. So anything you do, you fall behind, then it's trouble. So personally, I want to see the five that's currently in charge, the likes of Stephen Davis and Alex Vey, maybe pick up a win or two, get appointed full time, and then see that go wrong.
I think it shows where Rangers are, the fact they wanted to get rid of Scott Wright in the summer, and now he's had to come on Saturday and got sent off. That just shows how bad they are. They've had to bring him on, and he's got sent off.
And then I know they were snookered, but then they brought Steve Davis is going to be manager. I mean, I can crack some other jokes because you're saying about Graham Potter, Graham, but even Harry Potter couldn't work his wizardry at the club. Right.
Craig,
the real candidates, though, that are getting mentioned, the ones that are kind of serious names, Kevin Muscat, who seems to be the favourite, or they certainly was earlier on this afternoon. Obviously, he fits the bill in terms of Rangers fans. He's played for the club. However, aside from that, he does look like he could potentially be a decent candidate. He's worked under Postecoglou before and also succeeded Postecoglou twice at clubs. He's had success in Australia. He's had one short spell in Belgium, which never worked out. He was only there for 6 months. And then obviously succeeded in Japan and won the league. So thoughts on if he was to come in, what do you think, guys?
I think the Australian market's untapped, or the Asian market in general, putting Australia in that. You look at Ange done well at Celtic, take the budget out of it. He won a treble. Montgomery came into Hibs. I think that market's pretty much untapped for Scottish football. So I think it's still a risk because he's never managed in the league before. So if you're a Rangers fan, you're hoping that they're going to go for maybe a bit more experience in the UK, but Beale had that, didn't he work out? So it'll be, I think Muscat would do all right at Rangers.
Interestingly, much as Josh can't make it, he said he didn't know whether he would fit the bill because of the style of play, because Rangers traditionally aren't maybe the attacking stylish football, but maybe they need a change, something different to their usual approach.
Can they be so like, I want this style of play when they're already 7 points behind Celtic?
Well, exactly. The other names that I've seen getting mentioned, so a friend of the podcast, John Walker, that's been on before, he mentioned Chris Wilder, who's obviously been linked to every job in Scotland. I mean, I don't think it would be that inspiring, a manager for him to have. He's had another failed stint in the Championship last year.
There was chat of him coming to us for quite a while. When
he was at Hearts as well, wasn't it, at one point? Hibs. I think he was linked with them all.
I don't know. I think it's interesting. The thing about Davis that is interesting, people were speaking about this last night. So he is the named coach. You can't swap your manager around. You have to have a named coach and that's it. So you can't swap them for Europe or domestic competitions. Hearts had this issue with McAvoy and Naismith. So after 12 weeks... if they're still in Europe, 12 weeks will take us to what? October, November, December? Yeah, so if they're still in Europe after Christmas, They will have to, regardless of how things are going, appoint a new manager. And people are saying, oh, the reason they put him in is because they've obviously got someone lined up. I'm not sure about that, though, because I don't think there was that much pressure on Beale until quite recently. I'd have been quite surprised.
Pressure for a while. Like, they'll definitely have someone lined up. They'll have a few candidates. I mean, straight away, folk are saying about these four candidates that are out. And see when there's talk of it, something's in the pipeline. He's been under pressure.
Sure. Be interesting, because I did think it was quite funny as well. Alex Ray sat behind Beale at the weekend, given that Beale was sat there basically trying to bump off Van Bronckhorst before he'd gone. That's what happens, isn't it?
I suppose the one thing for Rangers is...
What was that, Graham?
I suppose the one thing for Rangers is after this week, they've got an international break. So they've got 2 weeks. If they want somebody else in, they've got that time to then bring somebody else in. But again, it's just who they're going to get.
I was actually quite surprised that they didn't wait until after Thursday and Sunday just because of the stability of, I mean, I get, okay, Europe and St Mirren are quite tough, but at least you've got someone that I thought they'd wait till after the break and do it. I was pretty sure they were going to do it, but I thought...
Fans are already gone, like, totally turned against me. It's just going to end up worse.
Yeah, but I suppose as well, if you now lose both or either of those, you've got an excuse, which is, well, we had to get rid of the manager, you all wanted him gone, we've now got this temporary coaching staff in, we did what you wanted.
The other names I've seen getting mentioned, Pascal Janssen, AZ Alkmaar.
I thought I was going to chime in and say, I think he looks an impressive candidate for Rangers. He's got AZ Alkmaar up the top of the Eredivisie again this season, 2 points off top after 7 games. Apparently playing some decent enough football along the way with quite a young side. So in terms of, I don't even know if it'd be left field, but as someone coming from the Eredivisie, wasn't Van Bronckhorst also from there before? So it'd be interesting to see the attempt to leave a club like Alkmaar, who's on that rise, to try take what could be a very tough job at Ibrox. I don't know what the difference in pay would be between the clubs. I'd assume maybe Rangers would pay more, but certainly an interesting candidate option and one to watch. If I was a Rangers fan, I'd be fancying him more than the likes of Lampard, who will probably go on to, or Chris Wilder.
Well, interestingly, when I was looking at the betting earlier, I didn't see Lampard in it, so I don't know whether things have changed since then.
Yeah, he might speak about on the telly, because he's on the panel for the Monday Night Football tonight, so I was wondering if any quotes would come up.
No, you keep your eye on that then, See if anything happens out of that. Jesse Marsh, that was at Leeds.
That's a big gamble.
But yeah, I don't think they'll wait 3 months to get someone. I think they'll have one and someone pretty soon, but meanwhile we can just enjoy it.
I think they wouldn't be a miss going for Martindale. I think, as Josh rightly told me, when Hibs sacked Lee Johnson, Martindale deserves a big job. So Josh, I think your club should hire Martindale, because he'd fit right in at your club.
He's a Rangers man as well.
Exactly.
Rangers should go to Tottenham and ask for Ange Postecoglou. That would be a hilarious one if they did that.
We shall see what happens.
Gerard back, actually. I'd go for that. People taking their cardboard cutouts out the bin.
Someone seriously said that on Twitter yesterday, and the BBC Radio 5 Live, you see the clip from that as well, blaming Dundee United for their Rangers trouble. That was quite comical.
I've really enjoyed it. It's funny because I don't really follow that many Rangers fans, but I've seen quite a few things retweeted. And I don't know if they're doing a joke or not, because it's just very hard to tell. Like, the stuff about Gerrard is like, they must be kidding, but who knows if they are. And also, they're really angry about the bad performance on their armed forces day, because that's disrespectful. So the whole thing's just been,
they should probably be more angry about that flag that was in the crowd, but I think
it's absolutely horrific, isn't it?
The less said about that, the better.
Well, I think we'll see what's done about that, won't we? Do you see those two boys at the Sunderland game, by the way?
Denny, that was raging about that.
Mm. One of them I saw has pleaded guilty. He's getting sentenced next week. Lots of people, deeply, deeply weird people, saying, okay, not a great joke, but like, shouldn't have his life ruined for it. Or can't believe he's going to get like a record for this. Are you joking?
I seen there was a photo on Twitter on Saturday, an Aberdeen fan that put the something about the Ibrox disaster as
that's
well.
That was 5 years ago, and I think it's photoshopped. Okay. Yeah, that's not from this Saturday.
I'm glad.
But like, what goes through their minds? Like, these boys are obviously absolutely mad.
Go to the football, and that's the first thing that they've got on their mind. It's just mindless, really.
Yeah, absolutely mental.
And it certainly brings out the certain people on social media when you see the people agreeing or quote tweeting it as well. But you get that with a lot of topics, that it can show people's true colours.
Yes. Right, we may as well move on to the weekend action then and talk about some more positive stories. So, St Mirren remain unbeaten in the league. Going great guns. But the game at the weekend maybe wasn't the most entertaining game, be fair to say.
Aye, they're doing well. They're doing well. I think when they beat us first game of the season, I thought that that would have been their peak, and I thought they would have levelled out quickly. But even to be fair, when we beat them in the cup last week, I still thought they looked very good. I think they were just unlucky. But it'll be interesting to see how far Robinson can take them this season. I think they'll be hoping to go far in the Scottish Cup at least now. But I think for their sake, it would be good if they could push for second all the way, but I just can't see them maintaining that consistency for 38 games.
I mean, there's nothing to say, though, they couldn't be in the match for third.
Also a very good point.
Absolutely, and as we spoke about last week, the style of play, where they let the other team have the ball, but they're effective when they do get the ball, and I don't think anyone would have predicted, I know we're only 7 games in, but to be undefeated in them, only 4 points off the champions and runaway leaders so far, is really impressive. And what Stephen Robinson's got going there on a shoestring budget, you could say, is really revived St Mirren's fortunes. And I guess, as I spoke about before, got the crowds back on side as well, which is good to see Scottish football as a whole. And in terms of the game itself, you could say it's just a bit unfortunate defending for Brad Lyons breaking the deadlock in that game, because Charles Dunn kind of just dillers and then the keeper gets caught out. And other than that, you can probably say that St Mirren maybe would have deserved more, but can't argue with a draw. And yeah, they'll probably take that going away to Rugby Park and maintaining that unbeaten run.
Especially in a ground of no one in like 13 years or something, they'll be...
Yeah, it's a bad record.
Delighted to get a point there.
McInnes is a candidate for the Rangers job, because I just can't see it with anything at all. Would Robinson be a candidate?
He's pretty much touted for every available job just now, isn't he?
He'd be the hot choice at the moment. He's got to choose an SPFL manager, Stephen Robinson, but I wouldn't see him or Derek McInnes going to Rangers. I think it would be uproar if that happened, and I'm pretty sure McInnes said when he turned down Rangers back in 2017 that would be the only opportunity. And he's finally got his own team at Kilmarnock as well, and that's what he was wanting. He kind of likes that control. He's got his own players in, rather than that's Premiership ready, rather than the ones that came up from the Championship. So, yeah, I don't see that one. So I agree with you, John. We're not including that in the main candidates for Rangers. And Robinson got something going at St Mirren. Could probably finish ahead Rangers, potentially, if things went even more sour for the Ibrox club.
You don't think Robinson would get the juices flowing?
He would, but I don't see them. Juices flowing, good one.
God. Oh, it's a hard crowd. Kilmarnock, McInnes get injured, which isn't good. Hopefully not out for long, because he's a terrible run of luck with injuries, as you
I was about to say. It's not a surprise that he's got injured on that plastic pitch, but I think he's had a good start to his Kelly career, for what I can tell.
Yeah, I've not seen anything yet to say how long he's going to be out for, but fingers crossed for him, it's not too long. Touched a wee bit on Ross County Hearts, didn't we, Graham? A wee bit. Good result on the road.
Yeah, well, I mean, given our away form, it's not been great. You know, we won in the first game of the season at St Johnstone. We've now managed to win at Kilmarnock and against Ross County. And like I said, I think the second half was better than the first half. a lot of possession first half, but didn't do a lot with it. Shankland has now gone 7 games without a goal. Hopefully he's bagging a few on Saturday against Hibs, but we'll wait and see. But yeah, it was nice to keep a clean sheet, to be honest. I thought Ross County didn't offer much. You know, Malky McKay tried to change it at half-time. He took his two strikers on, brought on Brophy and Murray. Didn't really offer a lot. I thought defensively Hearts were very solid. I think myself and a lot of Hearts fans have been critical of Kyrles. But the last couple of games, he's looked a little bit better. I think Frankie Kent's been outstanding for me. Probably our best signing so far this season. And I think the problem that Naismith's got, and is that a good problem to have, is where he puts Alex Lowry. Because he probably deserves a start on Saturday, but I don't think he'll play. Because I don't really think George Grant's done a lot to get left out after these last two games. So it's a nice problem to have. We've also got, obviously, Craig Gordon to come back at some point, Halkett to come back, Barry McKay to come back. We'll hopefully have Cammy Devlin back on Saturday. He'll start without a doubt if he's fit. So we are looking slightly better. But like I say, we need to keep winning. Saturday was a big game. I felt we had to build on Tuesday, and we've done that. We're now up to fourth. So yeah, it's been a positive last couple of games. Hopefully we can build on that on Saturday.
Who thinks starts at right back with Atkinson being out injured?
It's probably Toby Sibbick. You know, when I saw the team line on Saturday, I was surprised that he started Sibbick and O'Fier. You know, O'Fier obviously had that health scare a few weeks ago, and I'm glad to see he's back. But it meant he changed the system, and I didn't think it worked in the first half. Sibbick, probably for me, will start. And I think, you know, he's played the Derby games before. He knows what it's about. And up against the guy, because I'm assuming that it'll be Yuan on the left and Boyle on the right. So he'll be up against Eli Yuan. So Sibbick's pace will probably help there. So I think it will be Toby Sibbick. But I just want to see us picking a consistent team and not changing it week in, week out. Obviously, injuries, you can't help that. But I'd like to see us keeping a consistent team. I'm gutted for Atkinson because he has actually played a lot better recently. So I'm gutted for him. But it's a great chance now for Sibbick to get run the games.
It's easier to pick the same team as well if you're winning.
Absolutely. I think on Saturday, we did miss Devlin, you know, his energy in that midfield. But although I forgot to actually say as well, I've been really impressed with Callum Nunhoff. Last few games, now that he's getting starts, I think he's been fantastic. Never wasted a pass, driving forward, really, really composing the ball, tracking back. I think he's been excellent so far. And if he keeps that up, then we've got a really, really good player in our hands. But again, it's just that always thinking about keeping players fit, because they seem to drop like flies at times. But if we keep these guys fit, then I'm probably more positive for the season than I was a few weeks ago. But like I said, we've got three big games to come.
Yeah. How important a goal do you think that will be for Forrest in terms of confidence and maybe getting a regular game? Do you think it's possible?
Yeah, it's funny because a lot of Hearts fans don't like Alan Forrest. I don't mind him. You know, I think he offers quite a lot to the team. And recently, he has been one of our standout players. You know, obviously, he played against Kilmarnock. I thought he was really good. Comes off the bench on Saturday, scores the goal. And he does, you know, he does try to drive to the byline and take people on and try to make things happen. But a lot of Hearts fans don't rate him. I think it's harsh at times. So I think there was a bit in the paper again today that, you know, Forrest's been a bit part player, but maybe he'll get more game time now. I would have no problem if he starts on Saturday. And I picked my team on Twitter earlier on, and Forrest is in it. I think he deserves to start. And if he can get running games and get consistency, then I think he'll be a really good player for us this season. But again, it just depends, because we've still got Utaro Oda to come back, who I like as well. Obviously, Barry McKay's still out. So it's about now Forrest getting his head in and keeping being consistent. And that goal will do him massive, massive confidence. But it's a great ball from Lowry as well.
Touch quickly on the Motherwell Celtic game. How raging are you if you're a Motherwell fan? You score in the 95th minute and you don't get a point.
Well, no. what was added on originally?
5 minutes, I think.
6 minutes?
Yeah, about that, yeah.
Yeah. And Motherwell equalised, pretty much. The game's almost done. And the game would have been done, but Motherwell fans decided to go on the pitch. And so the referee adds that time on Celtic scoring the time added on. Bring it on yourself.
And that happened to us against Ross County last season as well, when they equalised 1-1. So that's why I don't like fans going on the pitch in the first place, because it just adds that.
You're also not allowed to go on the pitch, and the club gets a massive fine. So don't go on the pitch. But yeah, that is what happened. Celtic scored because there was time added on, because they all started streaming on the pitch for an equaliser in September. Like, anyway, so that is, yeah, well, that's what happens, isn't it? And I enjoyed Roger's interview, because obviously he doesn't want to say we never stop, because he must think that's like Postecoglou's thing. So he was like, we always keep going. I was like, just say it. Everyone, just say it. They all like it. You're allowed to say it. You won't mind. But yeah, that is Celtic, I think. And Celtic will win the league because they simply will do that. They will grind out points when it looks difficult. And yeah, that is where they'll be. There'll big be games where you think, oh, that's going to be a draw or that's going to be a loss, and they'll turn it around.
Yeah, big bonus as well for Celtic. O'Reilly and Hatate both signing long-term deals after being linked with moves elsewhere. So, and more stability there as well.
Yeah, they could certainly get a fair bit of money for Rio Hatate. Same as O'Reilly, but Hatate's won it since he came to the Scottish Premiership. He's really stood out in that middle of the park for Celtic. And as a guy who's probably only come into his prime or not yet to hit it, he could easily make Celtic a lot of money in future, especially now they've tied him up on these long-term contracts, having guys like him, Kyogo, O'Reilly, Ibarra. Like, the contrast between them and the neighbours across the river in Glasgow is night and day, really, of who's pragmatic and ahead and looking to the future and who is really a bit of a basket case at the moment.
Yeah. St Johnstone, they had to get off the mark by a win. But they're at least competing now a bit.
They are, and I think both decisions are wrong. For me, the penalty is not a penalty. I don't think Liam Gordon does a lot wrong. It's a coming together with him and Joel Noogley. Noogley's a big laddie. I don't think there's much wrong with that. For me, that's not a penalty. And the sending off as well, I don't think that's a red card either. I mean, he's gone in. He's not actually that dangerous. He actually goes past Noogley. So I think both decisions are wrong for me. Although not as wrong as my English team Liverpool got on Sunday, which I'm still raging about. But I think... I think St Johnstone do look a bit better. Great goal by Costolo, his first goal. But again, they just can't see it out. But that penalty for me wasn't a penalty.
Right, okay. And then we'll talk about the Rangers-Aberdeen game. Few surprises in terms of a wee bit of the squad getting rotated, but it worked out a treat.
That was the Frankfurt team, was it not?
I think it was three changes from the game against Ross County, was there?
Yeah, that was the Frankfurt side, I think.
Yeah, exactly. And it paid off because a lot of people on social media was like, why is he going so defensively after working well two previous games and getting a bit of momentum? But we obviously knew that set up against a team arguably better than us on paper would work. And the first 20 minutes, I was panicking and thinking, we're getting hemmed in, we're not really getting much of the football, but then suddenly just got our tails up, the crowd got restless in the home end, and we capitalised, and that's all you can ask for. And the marking for some of Aberdeen's goals, not complaining, but if I was a Rangers fan, you'd be asking what the heck's going on, what space Stefan Gorterman's getting, for example, to open the scoring in the first place.
Even though it's surprising that they had Sventis on him, like, that seems a weird one, mismatch straight away, but what's in our favour?
Yeah, and especially backed up so many players in the press before we've played Rangers or Celtic over the years. The likes of Andy Considine, the local heroes, would always be in the P&J saying, oh yes, this is their time, we're going to beat them. And it never happens. Gorterman said, oh, he would love to make himself a hero. And then he goes, puts in a brilliant performance at the back and gets his first goal for the club and really set Aberdeen on their way and set that tone. At half-time, Rangers booed off and then Aberdeen got up the traps again second half, and probably one of the best performances I've seen Aberdeen play in a good while that second half. And if it could just be... If Miowski, for example, he had a brilliant chance. There's a few others that, if it goes in another day, it could have been more. And you're not seeing that at Ibrox very often for an away team. Especially the first time Aberdeen scored three at Ibrox since 1997. So... That was a very interesting stat learned on Saturday.
and a nice birthday goal from Jimmy McGrath.
I loved that, him scoring on his birthday. I shouted happy birthday, Jamie. Knee slide was a lovely little touch. Little front row from Jack McKenzie. What a day. Just brilliant. Graham Shinney as well, coming over to the fans, just loving it. And Nicky Devlin loves it. He is so good. I think he's the best signing of the summer. He's absolutely outstanding.
Did you see Alex's own celebrations as well? Like, each goal I've been scoring, he's on his own, just, like, giving it big time. And I think that's paying off at the end of the games as well, because you're seeing them all these continental players coming over and doing, like they're bowing at the end of a theatre performance. They love it, like, laughing up to their away fans, and quite right as well.
Is that it? No more? I thought you wanted a lab, but no.
You speak for hours about it, but no, just absolutely brilliant. Everyone was really good. Graham Shinney was great. Everyone was just excited, loving it. Genuinely, really, really good.
Yeah, other than Keller Reese, who gets so much, you know, he saves Aberdeen so much, especially during that purple patch when Robson was at like 10 games unbeaten or 7 games unbeaten. Reese and Matty Pollock were pivotal with that, because at times we were exposed, but he was pulling off some magnificent saves. So I've seen Roos get quite a bit of flack on social media and message boards, but he saved us more times than others. So, yeah, it was a bit stupid not coming out and commanding the ball, but we won in the end. So let's not focus on that negative. And hopefully he's fit. He did take a bit of a knock, same as Jensen, but I'm sure they'll be fine for the game against Helsinki in midweek. And just good to have some positivity back around the club, really, because you can see everyone just absolutely buzzing. And I know folks say Aberdeen just raised the game against Rangers. It was the first thing the Rangers TV commentators pointed out at the full-time whistle when they was complaining. But you've got to beat what's in front of you, and they've got an expensively assembled team. We've got a team that had been out of form and managed to go there and win and get the manager sacked. So no wonder for those listening why I'm sitting here with a beaming smile on my face.
Was there not something as well that apparently the Tom commentator after 8 minutes said if this was a boxing match, Aberdeen would have thrown the towel in?
Yeah.
Apparently so. I was watching through Red TV channels and got to listen to the brilliant commentary of former defender Lee Mayer, who finally told me why the defender would lie down from a free kick, and was really insightful. So we got actually good analysis rather than speaking about boxing matches and making excuses about why they shouldn't lose to a team like Aberdeen.
As Rangers fans left for 20 minutes ago.
Yeah, I know, exactly.
By when the third went in, it was, you'd think if our drill had gone off, it was an absolute embarrassment. Grateful. Just, do you know what? A lovely, lovely day out in Glasgow. Everyone had a 10 out of 10 time.
Has there been something that Barry Robson's changed recently? Because obviously, yous weren't looking great earlier on, but now, obviously, the defeat against Dyntrack, where you were really good, you've then won the two games against Ross County, you've obviously gone to Ibrox now. Is there something that's been changed by Barry Robson tactically, or just the players are looking better?
I'd say starting to play the ball on the ground a wee bit. In the games against County, Conor Barron in next to Graham Shinney, it's helped Graham Shinney show his real captain ability and just drive the team forward. Just having that cushion of Barron, who's a very good ball-playing midfielder, got great vision, and really impressed with him. And then to put Paul Vara in for that Rangers game, I thought it was a big call. Obviously got that goal in Frankfurt, but he does a lot that people don't notice. And I think it just shows how confidence can read success. And I think Aberdeen maybe just needed that first win as a new group of players with 13 or 14 signings, and just taking them a bit of time to bed in. Initially, Slobodan Rubicic looked a bit of a liability at centre-back. I'm still not 100% convinced by him, but in terms of winning his aerial duels, he looks like solid that way. He's got two really good defenders in Gartman and Jensen next to him, and I think it's just starting to click, and Barry Robson is now knowing who he can trust and got a whole squad. And you look at Aberdeen's bench, Graham, on Saturday, you're bringing Duke and Hayes off the bench. I'm not seeing such a strong squad to choose from in a while, and I think that helps. They've got near enough fully fit squad and 18 players at least that I'd probably trust to start any given match and get a victory.
Right, we alluded to the fact that European action is coming up. So, first of all, on Wednesday, Celtic host a struggling Lazio. We are not doing very well at all in Serie A.
What do you expect? I haven't yet. That's a 4-0 for Lazio.
Anyone want to elaborate?
I actually think Celtic will do okay-ish in their group. I don't think they'll get through. But I thought they were not horrendous before, and I think they will get something.
Being at home, especially against a struggling-ish Lazio side, you'd expect Celtic to make home advantage count, because you look at the Feyenoord game away from home, Feyenoord made some brainless decisions from maybe inexperienced players on Champions League debut, two sendings off. That changed that game, but I didn't think Feyenoord were that great. Celtic, if they'd kept at full strength, would have got something. And they've got nothing to fear Lazio. Against Lazio, I don't think they've probably started the season Celtic looking as dominant as they did under Ange, but they've got players there that can hurt any team. And if Celtic can click, like Maeda has been a bit wasteful lately, but if he can find his A game again, got Thiago, as we said, Hatate and O'Reilly, they've got great players that can threaten teams and score goals. So I'd fancy Celtic to at least maybe drop down into that Europa League spot and get third place. If not, you could maybe be chasing second. And I'm a big man for the coefficients. I would like to see Celtic pick up a win and do that for Scottish football tomorrow night.
Graham, Charlie, what do you think? Wednesday night?
It'll be a hard game for Celtic. Since 2000, you'd be lucky if they've won a handful of games in the Champions League at home. So, in the groups anyway, I don't think they'll get out of their group. I think they'll finish fourth. Albeit Lazio are struggling, but I think they'll lose tomorrow, and that'll be them in panic stations as well, with the two players that are suspended as well. Who have they really got to come in to replace them? Their centre-backs are pretty much all injured, so it'll be interesting to see who will partner Liam Scales at centre-back. So it'll be an interesting one. But, I think they'll struggle tomorrow.
Oh, I'd guess it'll be Nat Phillips will partner Scales, I would think.
It'll be an interesting one to see. Is Nat Phillips fit again? I thought he got injured.
He not come off the bench at the weekend.
I would have loved to have watched the game, but obviously Sky didn't decide to show a single game at the weekend there.
Aye, and they put their own game this weekend as well, which we will come on to.
I think that would have got at the end of the game, Phillips. So it's not a thing where Liverpool loanees being injured all the time. At least he can get on the park, not like Rhys Williams at Aberdeen.
Who? Graham, what's your thoughts? Next Celtic can get a victory on Wednesday?
I actually have a sneaky feeling that actually will win. I think it'll be difficult. I think it'll be like 2-1. But I just have a feeling that at Parkhead, you know, against a Lazio team that isn't looking particularly great, I've seen far stronger Lazio teams. Still got decent quality, but I just think that Celtic will probably edge it. I think if they get an early goal, then I think it'll be a difficult night for Lazio. But I actually think Celtic will just sneak it. I don't think they'll get out of the group, but I think they'll probably win at home against Lazio.
Okay. And then Thursday, there's obviously two ties. So first up, Rangers go to Aris Limassol. Limassol lost their first game 3-2 to Sparta Prague. Rangers obviously beat Batiste 1-0. But what do we expect? Can Rangers get a result?
I don't think so. I just think there's so much uncertainty going around the club and negativity on and off the pitch. It's not going to turn around that quickly. Yeah, you could say, oh, they brought in proper Rangers men to take in control at the moment. But my opinion, from watching Rangers all season, the players just aren't good enough. And throwing the fact that you've got key players like Todd Cantwell out injured, Danilo, obviously, as well, who, as you said, maybe could turn out to be okay. And, oh, you've got Cantwell, Danilo. No, Cantwell, Dowell and Raskin, all midfielders, spread out injured at the moment. So And did you guys see the videos of the Rangers fan confronting Jack Butland and James Tavernier after the game on Saturday? And Butland actually stood in, took the abuse, whereas Tavernier got in a bit of a confrontation and then kept on walking. So when there's all this going on and rifts with the fans, it might take a bit of time to also rectify that. So with all that going on, if I was Aris Limassol at home on Thursday night, early kickoff, I'd be fancying my chances against the Scottish side. As much as I say I'd like Scottish sides to do reasonably well in Europe, but I just don't see it this one. Especially with Rangers, who look like not a chance as they spur as well. Because as much as Aberdeen were excellent, going back to that game, Sima and Dess as well had chances. If they was a bit more clinical, they could have scored and made it a more interesting game.
We had Limassol 2017? And not a bad side. I think you've got the combination of Europe, it's all very different. Your refereeing is different. Callum McGregor said that in his interview. You know, all the decisions you don't get in Europe. Also, I think that the problem is the new kind of whole managerial thing. I think Celtic will actually get something this week. I think they probably will finish in their group. Will they be fourth? Maybe. I think they'll get some kind of point somewhere.
Rangers and Limassol.
I think Rangers will lose this week. And I think Aberdeen will win. That's my European predictions. I think we could win. I've looked up this Helsinki team. I don't know much about them. They're top of their league, but who knows what that means. I think we have to win.
Graham and Charlie, what's your Rangers going to Cyprus?
I think they'll win. I think Rangers are probably better suited for Europa League, as we've seen a couple of years ago when they got to the final. I think the quote-unquote new manager bounce will come into play. Or I think they'll win 2-1.
The big thing will be interesting to see is if they change any kind of style of play or like even formation.
Yeah. I think they might. Think?
Sorry, Charlie, what were you going to say?
No, I think they might change formation.
They need to do something to kind of get these new signings clicking, because they've made so many new signings and arguably got rid of too many. They needed a rebuild. It was long overdue to having a rebuild at Rangers, but getting rid of so many key players. And I've seen Antonio Šolak was one of the first to like the fact that Michael Beale had been sacked. And he was a reliable enough goal scorer for them. And you see the money they've spent to replace him and Alexis Morelos, dare I say it, in Arfield, who was good for chipping in a goal. I think they just let too much of these guys leave, and the guys that's came in haven't settled. So they need to hit the ground running immediately. And maybe Davis, who was a great player himself, and I'm assuming that means he's got to be finishing his playing career now. Obviously, kind of got a long-term injury. But could he have seen something sitting in the sidelines that is a little tweak and then it works? I don't know. But I just can't see it improving for Rangers. I hope someone can. I'll clip this up and I'll eat my words come the end of the season. But at the moment, I think it could get worse before it gets better for them.
I agree that I think they are generally, they seem to play better in Europe than Celtic do recently. And I think they are generally, yeah, the Europa League they've done well in. But I think Robbie's right that they have struggled in the league a lot this season. And so I'm just not sure how are they going to be suddenly better in Europe, the same players? And you're right. I mean, the players that they have replaced, I don't think they're replaced with the same level. They've let a lot of players go and for free. And they've spent money, but I'm not sure its value as such. It's quite a lot of those players were quite expensive. From what I can see, a lot of their fans aren't that impressed. And we're kind of going to wait and see what happened this season. And it just hasn't really been going, I don't think. So it will be, interesting, I think. But I do actually think Rangers will win.
What about yourself, Liam?
I'm kind of going against the grain. I'm actually going for all the Scottish teams to win, surprisingly. I think Rangers will win. I don't think that Cypriot team are particularly great. If a game that Rangers should be looking to go and win, I think it's been a while since I've had a Tavernier penalty, so that must be due at some point. Might come on Thursday, but I just think they will, now that they've sacked Michael Beale, who was obviously a massive problem, they might get a pit melt from that. You know, whether it'll be enough to make them have a really good season, I don't know, but I think on Thursday, I think they probably will win.
Okay. And then Aaron's obviously already mentioned Aberdeen home win. Charlie, Graham, what do you think?
It's hard to say. I don't know, because I think as much as Aberdeen fans would like to tell me that they were quote-unquote excellent, you still lost. And I know that that'll probably rub people up the wrong way, but you can play however you want, but if you still lose, you still lose. So you're on 0 points. I think Aberdeen will get a draw on Thursday. I think they'll pick up a point. I think it'll probably remind me of how Hearts done in Europe last year. I think they'll win a few games. I think they'll lose the majority, and I think they'll bow out in the groups, but I think they'll give a good account of themselves in Europe. I think, obviously, Frankfurt was a better performance than most were thinking. I'd put Frankfurt on my bet minus 3 goals, and that let me down, so I was a bit gutted about that. But I think, for the most part, Aberdeen will give a good account of themselves in Europe, but I think they'll still come up a wee bit short by. I think on Thursday they'll get a draw.
I'm going more positive than that, Charlie. I'm thinking Aberdeen are got to go off the back of these three wins and follow that up. Despite HTK Helsinki, they've been in the Champions League several times. Obviously, played against Celtic, beat Celtic before, the top of the Veikkausliiga at the moment. But it's just something about Aberdeen, Fortress Pathology. They really could have and should have beat Hacking. Now, I don't want to sound like Barry Robson going back to that game all the time, but we've improved since then. And there's nothing to fear, really. Got a good squad, as I say, to choose from in multiple options. Like Duke, I thought was just coming into a game, finally, in that 4-0 rout of Ross County. And then against Ross County in the Cup, he was kind of put out wide, didn't really show his true self, not really his fault. And then didn't play from the start on Saturday, but I'd maybe like to see Duke and Miofsky start and just have a go at Helsinki. We're at home, and I'm going a 2-1 Aberdeen win. Like, it won't be easy, but I can see us getting the first 3 points on the board, and hopefully, as much as I said before the campaign started for the Conference League, just a bonus being in it. Sounds a bit negative saying just taking part, but you never know, win the home games and get something away at Helsinki or over in Thessaloniki, then it could be even better. In Robson's rampant reds could be challenging all fronts.
Oh, it's all Robson's rampant reds again. It's good to hear. Right, okay. Yeah, so, Charlie and Graham, we could just take a rest and we'll focus on the old salt and sauce derby. Get the popcorn out, Robbie, Aaron, listeners, everybody. So, first meeting of the season. Obviously, it's a big game. It's going to be on the TV, isn't it?
If only. Oh.
No, it's not on TV. What's going on?
It's becoming a joke, isn't it? I think the Edinburgh Derby is now the longest serving derby in the country after Rangers died. So, for my money, every game Hibs and Hearts and Hibs play should be on the TV. Doesn't matter if it's a Tuesday night, Saturday, lunchtime, Sunday lunchtime, every game should be on the telly.
You agree, Graham?
100%. I put a tweet out 2 weeks ago to say that it was a disgrace the game's not on telly, and it had over 84,000 views. It's ridiculous. I know that a lot of Hearts fans are saying, oh, it's 3 o'clock kickoff, it's great. And of course it is. It's great that it's 3 o'clock. But this game is a flagship game. It should be on TV. Why they've picked, and no disrespect to St Mirren, but why they've picked St Mirren against Rangers on the Sunday is just a joke. Hearts Hibs is the biggest fixture that weekend, and it's not being shown live on Sky. It's a disgrace. An absolute joke.
Yeah. Is this the first we're going to get you to agree? Is the rest of the Hearts Hibs preview going to be full of disagreements?
I'd probably say so. But I think Graham's right though. I think there was what, five derbies last season, and I think three of them were on the TV. Like, it's just a joke. Now I like a Saturday 3 o'clock kickoff for a derby. It's nice to be in the pub for 10 o'clock with your mates getting ready for it. But ultimately, these are the games that most people want to watch on the telly. No, your Rangers versus Dundee or anything like that. So aye, they should be on the telly.
Aye. Aaron and Robbie, would you be watching if it was on the TV, Hearts Hibs?
Yeah, and it should be on the TV because surely that's the obvious pick. I mean, there was absolutely nothing last weekend, so we were the only top league in Europe with no games on last weekend. I'm quite happy for us not to be on the telly, to be fair, because I like a 3 o'clock Saturday. We're going to have like none of those this season, but I can't believe it's not on. Why would it not be on? Also, it's so fun. There'll be a drama at the end. There'll be some... Oh, it's going to be great. Yes, it's nonsense that it's not on the telly. And it's a shame that the deal is such that BBC, etc. couldn't take it. Yeah, I think it's really poor.
Yeah, I agree with everyone else. I know in this digital age, if you want to watch... Because there was an Athletic article today about changing the... times of the games in England and how it could affect the non-league and the 3 o'clock blackout. But for me, in the stage of age, I get you can watch the games if you can find ways and means, but it's not right that Scottish football are just getting so short in the TV deal. Like, it's ridiculous when you're seeing the likes of the Netherlands, I was comparing AZ Alkmaar's manager to potential Rangers budget earlier, and what they get compared to us is astronomical at times, and you think, why can you not just show even two games, have that Simon Rangers game second, be third, and Edinburgh Derby? Because there'll be a lot of viewers wanting to see both games. Because I get that point that the old firm of Glasgow teams attract a lot of viewership from around the world, but people don't want to see these same games all the time. And an attractive proposition is two of the Scotland's biggest clubs will be a sellout, obviously, and should be a good game for the drama. Both teams desperate to get that 3 points over the rival.
Well, let's build this game up further before it's like a boring 0-0 draw and we're all glad it wasn't in the TV. Two players, Graham, for Hearts on Saturday.
Well, I think one of them's got to be Shanklin. Like I said, he's not scored in seven games, but he has still been, for me, he's still been working hard. He's just not been getting the chances. He could be crucial, and he's managed to bag a few against his before. I think, again, Callum Moonhoff, like I said, has started to really come into a really good game now. And I think probably, I think it depends what he does out wide, like I mentioned earlier on. I think Alan Forrest, like I said, a lot of Hearts fans are not convinced by him, but he has come on to a game. If we can get him running at that Hibs defence, he could cause problems. And Vargas on the other side, I really like him. He's a really, really good player, and his work rate's phenomenal as well. I think his first goal's coming at some point, hopefully Saturday. But we've got to... I also know that we have to be very strong defensively because Hibs have that threat of Yuan and Boyle. And obviously mentioned before, Dylan Venti as well. So they do have a threat. But all I can focus on is what Hearts can do. You know, we're at home. It's a big, big game. We'll have the majority of the crowd. It's a massive, massive game. It's a massive game for Naismith. Obviously, he played them twice last season. His first game in charge after Robbie left, we got beat 1-0. Game of last season, drew 1-1 where Cochran gets sent off. So this is a big game for Naismith, a huge game for him. If he wins this game, then a lot of Hearts fans that might be on his back before are probably going to be off it then, because winning a derby game, that's what you want as a fan. You want to win the derby games. And we know, obviously, we've got a fantastic record against Hibs, especially at Tynecastle. But this is huge. I mean, this is a massive, massive game. And I kind of enjoy the build-up to these games. I don't enjoy the game when I'm there, because it's 90 minutes of absolute torture, but I quite enjoy the build-up to them.
I think Hearts will take the game at Hibs.
I hope so. I think we have to. This is one of the criticisms I've had on Naismith recently. I think far too often we have kind of been very passive. I want to see us playing attacking right for the front. And to be fair to Naismith, when he came in last season, he did do that. You know, and that's most in those seven games that he had, Hibs game aside. But against Celtic, Ross County, Aberdeen, we were on the front foot. We did play attacking football. We were actually good to watch. He needs to get back to that. And hopefully we do take the game at Hibs. We're at home. I'd expect the same as what it's in Easter Road. I'd expect Hibs to take the game. Us, we have to take the game. We have to be in the front foot because we're at home. And the fans will demand that and expect it, and rightly so.
Yeah, okay. Charlie, who do you think the key players on Saturday for Hibs?
Could probably name you the key 11 if you want, but nah, I think the key players for us are probably Paul Hanlon, Will Fish at the back. I think if they can keep it tight, I think it'll be good for us to do that. I think defensively we've been a bit ropey this season, so if we can keep it tight at the back, I think we'll be all right. I think obviously, as Graham's mentioned, the front four, I think Venti, Lafondra, hopefully, Yuan and Boyle, I think they are I think Hearts are there to be got at. I think they are a bit weak defensively as well as us. So I think those four, if they can click, then I think we have every right to take the game to Hearts if they can get the ball moving.
You think Hibs will take the game to Hearts? No, set the counter and try and break them off with a pace?
I think the way Montgomery plays football, I don't think he will sit in. I think we'll be looking to attack. I think we've had more of the ball than the other team in every game he's been here, so I would fully anticipate that we are going to try and take the game to Hearts. I think this is the biggest game for Montgomery to try and stamp his authority onto the team, and I think usually in the derby, whoever has more of the ball tends to win the game. So I would say, I think if we can do that, then I think there's every possibility that Hibs could walk away with the points.
As both of you alluded to earlier, October's a difficult one for both of you, so whoever can get the upper hand, it'll probably end up a draw after this, but if one of you can get up to the upper hand and get a good start to October, it could be important for the, well, not just the month, but even the season.
Yep.
Putting that marker down. I mean, it's daft predictions, but
I think the first goal is crucial. I think Hearts, if we can get the first goal and get it an early goal, then it'll give the players a lift, it'll give the fans a lift. So I think the first goal could be crucial. I think it will be a tough game. I'm not going to say you can say our Hearts will hammer them, because I don't think that'll be the case. I think both teams defensively are suspect, as Charlie said, but we're at home. You know, I have to expect the Hearts to go win this, and I think I'm probably going to say, I think it'll be tight, but I think it'll be 2-1 to Hearts. I think Shanklin will get back among the goals, hopefully, but I think it'll be 2-1 to Hearts.
Hearts, Charlotte?
I don't know, because my head's saying different from my heart. I think my head's saying 2-0 Hibs, but my heart's saying 1-1. So I'll go in my head, 2-0 Hibs.
Yeah, Hibs. Are you okay? Okay, goal scorers?
Venti double. Or actually, Venti and a wee Rory Whittaker to come on and nutmeg Xander Clark for the winner. That would be ideal.
See what happens. Robbie, how do you think the game will go?
It's a tough one, because I do agree with Charlie that Hibs are looking a better proposition under Nick Montgomery. I do like the look of Glenn Venti. I think that's 5 goals in 11 games for him after signing from Eredivisie side. But Hearts at home, I just can't. It was 1-1 in the last game they played before the split, if I'm right in saying, and I can see a draw again this time, but maybe a more entertaining draw. I'm going to go a 2-2 draw. I think both sides have got players that can hurt the opposition team, but we won't find a winner. But Hibs will keep, Nick Montgomery will keep his unbeaten run up until the game against Rangers away, and then he might win that as well. You never know. I'm all on the Nick Montgomery train.
Maybe the bigger question is, will both teams keep the 11 players on the pitch?
I think for both teams, I think for both teams, if they want to win the game, they're going to need to keep 11 on the park. I think that last game of the season, Graham, you'll probably agree, I think Hibs had a lot more of the ball when Hearts went down to 10, but obviously couldn't break through. But I think if one of us wants to win the game, we're probably going to need to keep 11 on the park.
This is where I think, for me, the referees was a massive part. For me, and I know that yellow cards are yellow cards, but I think it's a derby game. You've got to let the occasion flow. And I think if you're booking somebody in the first 5 minutes, you're setting a precedent after that. You've got to let the game flow and let it breathe for a bit. We know what derbies are like. So I think the referee is going to have a massive part to play in this. Don't book somebody after 5 minutes, unless it's a really bad challenge, but just let the game flow.
Aaron, how do you think the game might go?
I think, if I'm honest, I think Hearts might win 2-1. I don't think Hearts look great. I don't think Hibs look great. I think either that or a draw. It's not going to be... I can't see it being a big score. 2-1 Hearts or a draw, I think. I don't know. It'll be interesting because I suppose we played them both. We obviously had an absolute shocker at Pittodrie, and I didn't think Hibs looked brilliant, but they look a little more comfortable now. I think Lee Johnson seemed to be a bit... I mean, it's all very odd. I think a lot of his interviews, everything seemed a bit... Nothing... I don't think the players were that pleased. I think behind the scenes was maybe not brilliant. So, no, I think... I think... Yeah, either a draw or a narrow Hearts win. I don't think there'll be any dramas. I don't think there'll be a sending off. I think it'll be straightforward.
Okay, and Charlie, you had the pleasure of meeting Montgomery yesterday. Did you get a wee chat with him?
I did. I'm a big advocate for women's football. I go to Hibs women's games home and away, which Robbie will be delighted about. He was at the game. We dispatched Aberdeen 6-2 in the cup, which was quite
good. Didn't even mention that, Charlie.
I'm very sorry, but... That's 11 goals we've put past Aberdeen, which is a surprise, a wee tangent. But I thought Aberdeen were going to be up there for fourth this season. But I think they'll click eventually. But it might be too late. But Montgomery and his backroom staff are there, and Brian McDermott, the director of football. And I think the one thing that struck me about Montgomery when he came in was he said that he wants to immerse himself in the culture of the club. And I think that's a big difference from Lee Johnson. Lee Johnson was very anti-women's football and made it very clear. Wasn't at any of the women's games and didn't really like the idea of Hibs having a women's team, which when Hibs women are one of the most decorated clubs in the country, it's a bit odd. But I had a good chat with him. I was speaking to him about the start and then obviously the two big games in the next 6 weeks, the derby on Saturday and the cup semi-final. And he said, we're going to look to win both of them if we can. So that's obviously positive to hear as a Hibs fan. But he's a great guy and he's got off to a great start. So hopefully that continues.
Well, you're right, not for Graham.
Yes.
All very polite just now. Like, this is like, I remember I did a wee Dundee Derby preview last season and Ethan and Jeff were all like very, very nice to each other. Like, I don't like. Let's see some more shots fired or something like that. A wee bit of arguments. Yeah,
get us back on next week and we can fulfill your boots.
You can tell Harry's not on. You can tell Harry's not on.
Aye. They're sitting on the edge. The only shot being fired is at Aberdeen women, and so that's when you know it's bad.
All too nice. It'll be nice on Saturday, but right, okay. Anything that any of you want to discuss before we wrap up for the night?
Did you have any questions on the socials?
Oh, there was a question, actually. Aye, okay. It wasn't about anything we were going to discuss tonight, but the question was, if you were to be any player in the Premiership, who would you be and why? So I'm going to start from my top that I can see. Charlie, you will be first. This was a question that was posted. You bit different, why not? Mind you, it was what Scottish football player would you be and why?
I think I would pick James Tavernier. Now, there's a reason for this. So James Tavernier is a serial failure, right? He's been inducted into the Rangers Hall of Fame by scoring 900 penalties. And I'd love to get paid 10 grand a week to be a serial failure at my job. I think everyone would love to be that and be recognised as apparently one of the best to have ever done it. So I would love to be Tavernier, not because he's a good football player or anything, because I think he's absolutely awful at football, but I would love to be recognised again and get paid a lot of money to ultimately have nothing to show for it other than a league title when there was no one there in a Scottish Cup final that you'd actually just you'd led your team to another final loss 3 days prior, so it didn't actually really matter.
Okay, Graham?
I think it would have to be Craig Gordon, because I would love to be that handsome and that good at my job.
What do you mean? Folk can't see this at home, but when we started the podcast before I came on, I thought you'd set up an OnlyFans channel where you were sitting.
Nah, it's just the wall. I always sit like this.
Right, okay, good answer. Erin, who would you be and why?
Today, Jack McKenzie. In general, Graham Shinney. Imagine, like, you love your club, you're the captain, you're brilliant, everyone sings, he's one of our own. Just be nice, wouldn't it?
Okay, not a female footballer.
I would be Rachel Corsi, lover. Brilliant. Everyone thinks she's great. Yeah.
Right. And an Aberdeen fan, so it makes it even better.
And very, very good at football.
Yeah.
Also, even people who are like, oh, I don't know a lot about women's football, do know about Rachel Corsi. I'd be famous.
Hey, Robbie, who would you be and why?
Well, originally when I seen that comment on Twitter /X, I did think Jack McKenzie as well, because I was riding on that wave of emotion. But I've got to say Duke, just because I love it when they say Duke. So definitely has to be Duke.
Right, okay. Right, that's good.
What about yourself, John? You've got to contribute, surely.
No, I asked the questions. Who would I be? Who would I be? Right, Scottish footballer. Lyndon Dykes. He's
how come?
Aye, he's got it. Lyndon Dykes, I like him. He's a character, and he's going to win his Euros. So there we go. He seems like a good guy as well. You would spend a night down the pub with, I think.
Absolutely, and he's chosen our country over Australia, so can't even complain.
Exactly. So thank you, everyone, as always.
Thanks for having me.
We shall be back next week.
Thank you. Happy, happy football, everyone.
Yes.
Good luck. Come on, the Jackals!
I hope Hibs do it.
Good luck to both. I hope you get your favourable outcome. But as long as the Dons win, I won't really be caring too much.
But they can't both get a favourable outcome, will they? Because they both want to win.
Well, favourable outcome for me would be a draw, so over two. Yeah, favourable outcome would be fine. Take a 2-2 draw and move on.
Okay. Well, cheers again, guys. And happy dandy football.
Happy football.